Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I have two such people here with me. Joy Barry has for four different careers been involved in education on many levels. And we are so pleased to be with Rafe Esquith. I had a public school education. I had a fabulous public school education. I had deeply experienced kindergarten teachers. My husband didn't have the opportunity to go to kindergarten. He still went to Stanford. It was okay. My first grade teacher, it was her very last year teaching. Now, bless her, at 65, she was tired and she was a master. Mm-hmm. My second grade teacher, it was her first year teaching. And it was sort of like standing the world on its head. And the second grade teacher was a very nice person and she really wanted us to learn and all that. But truly, it was one of those life experiences of experience is virtually everything, isn't it?
It is everything. I always explain it to people that if I'm going to have surgery, I want my surgeon to have a little gray hair. I don't want them to be a rookie.
Yep.
When I meet my class from 25 years ago, the first thing I always say is, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm young?
And the kids laugh at me. They go, no, Rafe, you were great. And I'm like, I wasn't that great.
You were passionate.
I was passionate, but I think Joy would agree, it takes more than passion. I mean, and one of the problems we're having now is that teaching in many schools has become so unattractive that the average teacher in my school lasts for 2 or 3 years and they're out.
Because
they either feel they're not being supported, or the kids are too rough, or the work is too hard, or the pay is too low, or all of the above. And then what happens is your second grade experience becomes a child's experience every year. They're always with a new teacher. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of sticking with it is I reach children today that I didn't reach 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Or 20. Or 20
because of the experience.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I've written this little cookbook, which is what I think of it as, is to start giving people ideas, not that they have to be me or, you know, insanely dedicated to the job. I am. I'm very dedicated. But each year, maybe add one thing to your classroom to make it a little bit more exciting. And if you do that for 10 years, then you're going to have a thrilling classroom.
And actually, you are growing and you are developing effectively as your children do. And what we find, and the research bears it out, that many in the teaching profession do not continue to grow. Mm-hmm. They may have some academic training, but the actual internal kind of development does not happen.
You know, Joy, you're laughing. I'm laughing because one of the things you said, people come to me and they go, Rafe, how could you do the same thing for 25 years? And I say, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I'd go out of my mind doing the same thing for 25 years. And I love the challenge, like you said, of growing with those children and finding new ways to unlock, you know, their minds to great ideas.
But you don't always succeed.
I fail all the time. And, I'm out in Hollywood, and one of the reasons I hate Hollywood movies about teachers, and I'll never let them make one about me, and they've tried, is in these Hollywood movies, the teacher saves everybody at the end, and everybody lives happily ever after, and these young teachers go home feeling like failures. And they go home crying into their pillows, thinking that law school would have been a better option. Mm-hmm. And I have to stand up and say, look, I'm a good teacher. I've had a lot of success. But I fail all the time. There are kids I don't reach. And even though I've given everything I have, and you shouldn't beat yourself up, what you beat yourself up over, I think, is giving up. We tell our children not to give up, so how can we give up? We have to be the people we want them to be.
And actually, the climate that's in your classroom, each of your students becomes you, in a sense, your alter ego. And so for those youngsters who are not moving at the kind of pace that others might be moving, they get help from their peers.
That's, the secret weapon in my classroom is not only the peers, but the former students who come back from college and high school, who look like these children, who speak their language, and say, I did this, and I struggled, and I know your problems. And in a funny kind of way, Joy, the students are motivated by those peers far more than by me.
Because those kids, at all of the age level, kid being neither ageist nor sexist, they've all been there. And it isn't this an extension of Barbara's rule?
It's so true, mm-hmm. and also that when little kids in the neighborhood laugh at my students and go, nobody cares about school, my class can say, well, maybe nobody you know cares about school. I've met people who are coming back from top universities who lived on my street, and they care very much about school. And they're really nice people, and they're really working hard, and they're making their community better.
And I want to be like them.
Yes. So when you watch a cooking channel, and they show you, hey, we're making this dish today, and it looks really good, and then you want to make it, my children have seen the finished product.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what motivates them to want to be like them.
There's a wonderful notion that comes out of the environmental movement that's called backcasting. And this is intended for businesses who want to become on the side of the light, if you will. And the premise is, it was developed by a cancer researcher. And he looked around and said, too much cancer, what's going wrong here? Backcasting is you set an idea, not in stone, but an idea of where you want to be, who you want to be, how you want to be. What's the goal? It's an interim goal, and it's always moving, so it's a dynamic system. And then you figure out how to get there. But if you have no notion that, and all these English teachers here, from which you are backcasting, how can you possibly expect a kid to flourish?
Right. Now, he's got to see where he's going. He's got to have that kind of goal in mind. But he also, I'm sure Joy would agree with this, we are so sometimes forgetting about the process of learning. You know, they're only worried about the essay that's finished or the report that's finished or the test at the end of the year.
Talk about process, because you talk about that a good bit in Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire, and it's as if we've forgotten that the cake requires the process to be the cake.
Well, I was a math major at UCLA. I love numbers. And you always see children at the elementary level who do very well on math tests, who then go right over the cliff in middle school in algebra and geometry. Why does this happen? They didn't suddenly get stupid. They're obviously bright children. But they didn't really understand the numbers they were working with. They simply knew how to get an answer. So I have, like you said, I've gone back to ask the kids different kinds of questions about why we do the numbers. And also, if you create an environment without fear, which is what my classroom is, the kids are unafraid to raise their hand and say, I don't get this. And one of my favorite moments ever, there was a PBS documentary made about my class. And there's a kid who said, last year I asked my teacher a question. And she said, we've been over this. You should have been listening. And he says, I was listening. I just didn't get it. He said, in Ray's class, Ray will explain something 500 times, but he will make sure I understand. He doesn't say that I'm smarter or nicer or better. I just know he's 10 years old. It doesn't bother me to explain something 500 times. He's just a little kid.
And you don't keep the other kids back while you're working with that kid.
Absolutely not.
That's a part of the climate of respect, because there is that respect. The youngsters understand, I can ask the question because the teacher respects me.
And the other children will laugh at him for asking.
That's it.
Because that's a big deal with the peer group pressure.
It's a huge deal. The kids, when I talk about fear, they're much more afraid of each other than they are of the teacher. And the other thing that my class knows, because we do so many activities, maybe Alan is having trouble with math. Well, you better not laugh at Alan, because he may be way better than you in science. And with so many things on the table, everybody flourishes in something. Whether they're a great Shakespearean actor or a guitar player or a writer, or they're terrific with grammar, all the kids know we all have our weaknesses. That's why we come to school, to strengthen our weaknesses.
Not just babysitting?
Well, it might be in a lot of classes that Joy and I have seen, but it shouldn't be that way.
It should never be that way. And teacher attitude plays a great part in this whole picture. Teaching and learning is not just not one side or the other. Instead, the two have to come together, as just as if we're thinking about a music and an orchestra, all the parts have to come together, and that feeling is there. And so what we're looking at today, unfortunately, is almost a climate where the real teaching and learning does not take place.
I agree, and sadly, sometimes when there is only teaching, and they can mask it where, hey, our test scores have gone up, and people think of that as successful, but the real measure is, where do these kids wind up 10 years from now? Mm-hmm. What do they take from my classroom, not for race tests, not to please rave, what have I taught them they'll be using for the rest of their lives? The real measure is way beyond when they've left my room.
I was really fascinated as just as an observer to the world as I read Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire. All the things I was learning just about, I mean, oh, that's how they do the SATs. So if I were to do this, the ability to extract from what you're thinking to everything, I found remarkable. And I want to come back to one of the things that has America obsessed. Let me come back in a moment, which is testing. We'll be back in just a moment with Rafe Esquith. Joy Berry, I'm Paula Gordon. Be with us when we return.